This evening, Mark chapter number 9, if you would please. Mark chapter 9. Tonight's message will be very, very simple. I had another message planned for tonight, but the Lord laid this on my heart early this morning, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to preach it. I hope I was correct in that. I believe I was, and so I would encourage you to pay close attention. This will be a message that is applicable to all of us. You may not realize that as I get into the message. You might think it is a message just for parents, but I want to assure you at the beginning it is not just for parents. This is for all of us. It is applicable to everyone. It will talk much about children and things to watch out for with your children, but it's applicable to all of us. Some of us, maybe you have children that are grown. Maybe you have grandchildren. Maybe you are not in the boat of any of that, but what you can say is you know some children here in our church. And I want to remind you of the fact that we are a body. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? And that when one member suffers, all of us suffer. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? We need to remember that. So if you are not particularly in this boat as far as this exactly applies to you in the stage of life that you're in, may I encourage you not to zone out, number one, but also to learn from it, because you can learn to pray for others, and we all should. And this is applicable across the board. The title of the message is Attacked by the Destroyer. Attacked by the Destroyer. It comes from Mark chapter number 9. Let's start with verse number 14. Mark 9, starting with verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." In other words, he could not talk. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. We have here the narrative, the information, the story that the Lord tells us about a time when a young child was attacked by the destroyer. The reason that I call him the destroyer is we see that this spirit that was in this child was a dumb spirit. It means it wouldn't allow him to talk. Jesus also said that he was a deaf spirit. Obviously, that meant that the child couldn't hear properly either. But that would be one thing, and that would be discouraging enough for a father and a mother, but it went beyond that, and we see that the same spirit would cause this young person to cry out and to foam at the mouth and to gnash with his teeth, and he would wallow on the ground, and if there was a fire nearby, at times the devil within that child would get the child to throw himself into the fire, if there was water nearby, to try to throw himself into the water, to drown the child. This was a destroying spirit. And the father recognized that and even says in the middle of verse 22 that oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. We're going to see this here in a little bit, but that's what Satan does. And here is a child that was attacked by the destroyer. Parents, I want to challenge you. I believe this is from the Lord tonight to remind all of us that Satan is the destroyer. And he's after your children. And I don't want to cause you to be filled with fear. There is no reason for the Christian to fear. None. But there is a reason for the Christian to be careful, to be wise, right? To be prudent, to be circumspect. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us to be sober and vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So although I should not be fearful, I should be wise and careful. All of us need to be that way. And we need to be that way, by the way, with our children. And again, you may not find yourself in a stage of life where you have little children in your home. But can I please challenge you and encourage you, certainly pray for your grandchildren if you have those, or your adult children if you have those. But even if you don't have those, pray for the children in our church. There is a need. Satan is after them. And we are a body. Listen, it is my responsibility as the father of my home to raise my children. If they don't turn out for the Lord, it's not your fault. However, you have some responsibility and concern for them in that they are part of this body. And when they're affected, so are you. And it's the same way with your children and me. It's not my job to raise them, and as their pastor, I'll never try to be their dad and raise them. But I will challenge you and encourage you from the pulpit, maybe even personally on some things. But again, it's not my responsibility. But yet, if your children are affected, it affects me because we're part of a body. So we ought to care for one another. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving this message to me. I do believe it was from you. I pray that you'd help me and enable me to preach with power and authority. Help me to get it right. Lord, help me to be humble and not to be filled with pride, not to be filled with concern of what people think of me or how well they like the message. But Lord, help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. And again, Lord, help me not to have any kind of an attitude or anything that would not be from you, no motions or actions, Lord, that are not from you. Please don't let that happen. But Lord, help me to say everything that you want me to say, have every attitude and action that you want me to have, to be bold where I need to be bold, to be gentle and meek where that is needed. Lord, please, would you help? Let me be filled with your Holy Spirit for your sake. Lord, would you watch over and protect the young people of our church? Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, that the destroyer would not be able to get to them. We know that in the end, you are the only one who can watch over them. Lord, I also pray against the spirit of fear. Don't let any parent fall prey or child to the spirit of fear. Help us to remember that you have not given us that spirit, but rather the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen. This child, as I mentioned before, was attacked by a destroyer, an evil spirit that for some reason, the Bible does not share with us why, but for some reason, this child was actually what we might call possessed by an evil spirit that affected him so much that uncontrollably he would throw himself into the fire or water to destroy him. And I want all of us to understand this is oh so important. That's what Satan seeks to do. Now, Satan is smart. He's not dumb. And he understands that in order to affect somebody, he cannot come in a red suit with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. He's going to have to come with something shiny, with something glamorous, and he's going to try to pull us away to his cause. But his purpose ultimately in the end is not just to get us to sin, although that's part of it, but it's to destroy us. And Satan is smart enough to read the Bible. And he knows from the Word of God what sometimes we forget, and that is the wages of sin is death. And we have taken Romans 6:23, and we've only applied it to salvation. The wages of sin is death. In other words, if I'm a sinner, which we all are, then I deserve hell. Now, that is the primary application and an important application, but I need to remember that truth of the wages of sin being death is applicable across the board. Every time I sin, there's death involved. It brings the death of something. Something dies. Something suffers. Someone suffers pain when I sin. So I need to remember that. And Satan is smart enough to know if I can just get them to let me in, then I can cause them death and destruction. And it only takes a little place. One of the missionaries and I were talking about this. Just an amazing, amazing truth. I didn't have time to show the slide. I wish you could see this. Brother Peter showed me this. The one day we had a little bit of time for sightseeing. It wasn't much. But we went to an area where there's kind of like a park area, and it's not a national park, but it's similar to that. And there are all these trees and waterfalls and stuff like that. It was beautiful. But there are these palm trees that are there, and they don't produce any major kind of fruit, but they're a palm tree. They're beautiful. But there is a tree that is called a wild fig tree, and it has these little bitty figs on it. This wild fig tree will somehow, through a bird or whatever, get the fig, that small little fig, in the crevice of one of those palm trees. And it will grow there. It only needs a little bit of dirt, a little bit of moisture, and it will grow in the crevice of that tree, and it will grow a tree. And then it will shoot off some roots that will go down into the ground, and now it is rooted into the ground, and it begins to wrap itself around the palm tree. Pretty neat to see. But what it does eventually, if left alone and if not dealt with, it will completely envelop the palm tree. And before long, it envelops the palm tree so much that the palm tree dies, and the fig tree continues to grow. And after a while, you have no idea the palm tree was even there. The fig tree has grown completely around it, killed the palm tree, and the palm tree cannot be seen. It is gone. That, of course, would be a hollow where the palm tree was. And eventually that, of course, decays and goes away, and the fig tree actually envelops that. And we saw one that we don't know how old it was because we're not, you know, I don't know what that would be, a botanist or whatever. We're not that, but we guess that this fig tree must be 80 or 100 years old. And sure enough, when you look at the center of it, there's this little area. It's not a hole anymore, but there's this little area where you can see it was wrapped around something. And it is now this huge tree. You know, that's the way sin is in our lives. And Satan looks for just, listen, all he needs is a little bit of a space. And before long, he'll take over if it's not dealt with. And before long, he will destroy. That's why you and I need to be careful about sin. There is no such thing as a little sin. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. You'll know this verse. John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus is speaking of himself. And he talks about him being the shepherd, the good shepherd, right? He gives his life for the sheep. But an important part of that whole piece is also found in verse 10 of John 10, where he does not speak of himself. He speaks of Satan and those who work for Satan. John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan comes to destroy. And every time he will try to destroy a person. Listen, my father-in-law, before he got saved, was into the occult. He knew some things about the occult. And one of the things that my father-in-law would tell me is whenever Satan is involved in somebody's life, in the end, the desire of that wicked, evil spirit is always to kill the person. The end, that is the desire. Satan came to destroy. Jesus came to give life. It's what Satan does every time. Now, here's an important case, an important truth that will help you. In most cases in which a person grows up in a stable home with mom and dad disciplining properly, watching out for them, Satan doesn't have an inroad. In most cases. Now, listen, he only needs a little one. But in most cases, even in a lost home, when mom and dad are fulfilling more or less the biblical role that God established in his word, and dad is especially important in this. When dad is there and mom and dad are fulfilling their roles, I don't understand it all, and I don't think the word of God gives us a whole lot of detail unless I'm just missing it somewhere. But it's as if there's this protection around that God placed there that Satan can't quite get in. It's not that he can't cause havoc, he does, but there is a level of protection. Most people who grow up in a home that's stable, where mom and dad are doing their job, they're going to be protected from Satan as far as what we might call devil possession, like we see here. Okay? Not a guarantee, but in most cases. And by the way, that's why Satan hates the family structure. You understand what this whole thing is about wanting to destroy the nuclear family and gender confusion and all of that? It is all part of the spirit of Antichrist. It is Satan who hates God. And he does not like the fact that a man would be a man. Which means, by the way, that the man would lead the home. That there would even be some times, and I know this might hurt some feelings, but it's the truth, that there might be some times where the man says, "No, sweetheart, I love you, and I'm not going to be a jerk, but we're not doing that." Go figure. I know, that's hard to understand that a man would do that in 2025, but that's still what a man is supposed to do. And God placed the man in that home so that he could do that, so that he can be led by God. And many times, God will give that husband wisdom to say, "No, there's something wrong about that. We're not doing that." And that's a level of protection. And God wants men to be men and to lead. And by the way, to discipline. To even be the one to sometimes apply the rod to the backside. The husband should be doing that. As I mentioned to you all the time, mom should not be the one having to do that. Every once in a while, sure. But most of the time, it ought to be dad. And that's dad's job. And the mom should be doing her part, which means, yes, disciplining, and yes, following the leadership of dad, but nurturing and caring and loving on and all of the rest. And when God set that up, he set that up for a reason, and Satan hates that. Number one, he doesn't want men in the home. He tells women, "You don't need a man. You can raise those children on your own." And when a couple gets divorced, here's what Satan tells that couple. It tells them, "Hey, you know what? It's just best that you split apart anyway. It's better for the children if you split apart." Hogwash. That's a lie. Listen, that is not what God wants. And I realize there are times of abuse and all of that where sometimes things have to be done in a way that's not fun. I realize that. But it is not better for the children if the parents split up. I can tell you from somebody who suffered the pains of divorce, and my family's divorce was as good as any divorce will ever be. And it left scars that will never, ever, ever, ever be gone. It is not just something that children go by, "Well, we're flexible," and they go, you know, on with life. No, they suffer. And if you come from a split home, you know what I'm talking about. Satan hates the family structure, because when mom and dad are doing right, there's a level of protection there. And so Satan wants men to be out of the home. He wants men, when they are in the home, to be feminine and for the woman to lead and all of that, so that he can get a little bit of a wedge in there to break things apart. Now, even if a person does not have the drastic devil possession that we see in this passage, Satan is still seeking an inroad. Okay, this isn't a message about devil possession. Because most of the time, that's not going to happen, especially in the United States of America. I don't know, but I imagine that Satan kind of understands a little bit of things of how we in Western culture don't respond well to that. I don't know. I don't know exactly how. But I know in other cultures, they see more of that than we do. I think Satan is more subtle sometimes in our culture. But in other cultures, it does. By the way, we talked to one of the missionaries. His dad was a missionary in Brazil, and I forget what year Brother Eustace went, but a long, long time ago. And he told stories of going and working with the indigenous people there in Brazil and the demonic things that they saw and the demonic things that went on. Unbelievable. But they happen. Most of the time, you and I aren't going to see that. But Satan is still seeking an inroad into our children's lives. The children right here that sang in our youth choir tonight, Satan is seeking an inroad. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 22. And I apologize, by the way, I don't apologize for being passionate, but I apologize if the message is coming across a little bit harsh. I don't want it to, but there's a little bit of a passion in me about this because it's so important. It's so important for us to understand this. It's so important, and lives hang in the balance. Lives hang in the balance. It's important for us to understand this. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Notice this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Satan is seeking an inroad. Now, here's the problem, parents. Those of you who are especially parents of little ones, little ones, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage from birth because Satan already has an inroad into the child's heart when they're born. It's their sin nature. The Bible tells us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That means from the time they're born, foolishness is there with them. Now, thankfully, God gave us a way to get the foolishness out. And the way to get the foolishness out is the rod of correction. That's the way. That means properly applied, not abusive, not at all, but properly applied correctly with love, care, steadiness, firmness, not anger, but proper discipline applied will deliver the child from that foolishness. But it has to be that type of discipline. It can't be the world's form of discipline. That's why I've told you before, timeouts don't work. From time to time, I understand you might be in a situation where, you know, the rod can't be applied. Okay, that's fine. But the majority of the time, it shouldn't be a timeout because timeouts don't work. Tell you what timeouts do. Timeouts make angry children, frustrated children, because the foolishness is not dealt with. See, I'm bigger than my kids, except for Daniel. Now, all joking aside, when Daniel was little, I could take him. But after a while, he grew up. And it didn't matter what Dad said anymore as far as I couldn't make him obey. So early on, I had to make sure the foolishness was dealt with. Because eventually, me being bigger than him didn't work anymore. So we're at a disadvantage, but we can deal with the foolishness. Now, let's move on to kind of the whole point of the message, which is this. Satan will seek other ways to get a foot in the door and destroy the individual. Even if foolishness is dealt with, Satan is looking for another way. Here's just a few of those that Satan will work on. He'll work to try to get fear into the child's life. Fear. So be careful that you don't give Satan an inroad into the child's life in fear. And how might you do that? Well, there are lots of ways, but if you are a fearful person, that gives Satan an inroad into your child's life. And fear can be dealt with through the Word of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Later on it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4. So there's a biblical way to deal with it, but if we don't, Satan is getting an inroad by us having the spirit of fear. Or you might be one of those who you might want to show your child some scary movie. Listen, Satan can use that as an inroad for fear. Be careful with that. It's not funny when a kid is terrified of a movie. That can open the door for Satan to put in a spirit of fear. And by the way, Christians should not be watching those things anyway. It doesn't fit with Philippians 4. Whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, etc. Those are the things we're supposed to be thinking on. A practical joke can bring an open door for fear. You know, a practical joke where you scare the kid with a scary mask or whatever. Listen, be careful. Satan, all he needs is a crack. And you and I might think it's funny, but don't give Satan an open door. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me give you another one. This is an important one. Parents, I hope you'll listen to this. All of us need to listen to this. Self-doubt. Satan wants an inroad into your child's life with self-doubt. Because here's what Satan knows. If he can get that child, boy or girl, to doubt themselves, in other words, God can never use me. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worth anything, et cetera, and go down a whole line of things that Satan wants to bring in their mind. Then when they're under the preaching of God's word and the Holy Spirit is convicting and saying to them, listen, God wants to use you, missionary, pastor, Sunday school teacher, you know, soul winner, whatever it might be, and the Holy Spirit of God is touching their life, Satan has an inroad to say, everyone except you. because you're not worthy. You're not up to it. Everyone else is smart. You're not. Self-doubt. And how can we be a part of that? Sometimes we do by giving them a cutting statement is the word I use. You know, some little statement of kind of picking on them about maybe they have some kind of an inability in a certain way and we make fun of them in that area. All that is just an open door for Satan to give them doubt of themselves. Be careful with that. A moment of anger and frustration, calling them a name, is not okay. Never call your children names. And I know it's tempting. They do dumb things. By the way, so do you. And you're an adult. So does your pastor. But don't you notice? But listen, we all do, don't we? They do some things, and sometimes it's tempting to call them a name or lash out in anger. It never, ever, 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 ever should you respond to them with anger and frustration. Firmness, yes. Maybe even a little bit of a stern look and a loud voice, yes, but never anger and frustration. Satan can use that to give them self-doubt. Here's another one, perversion. Satan is looking for an inroad into your child's life in the area of perversion. That could be homosexuality, that could be gender confusion, that could be just any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. It doesn't have to be same sex. It could be just with a boy or girl and they're opposite sex, but it's outside of the bonds of marriage. And Satan is looking for an opportunity to just have a small open door to bring perversion into your child's life. And of course, the biggest ones nowadays are movies and internet. Okay? If you are a parent or a grandparent of a boy, you especially need to be careful on this. Because it only takes a glimpse. That little boy's mind and eyes catch everything, everything, everything. And it only takes a little. And in our world today, it's everywhere. And you need to be careful. Keep that away from them. Keep sensuality away from them. Don't watch movies where people are engaged in any kind of sexual activity whatsoever. Even if nothing is shown, don't do it. Especially if you have little girls either, but especially if you have little boys. Don't do it. You are opening them up to an attack of Satan, and it is an open door where Satan can get a foothold, and he'll try to use it to destroy them. Of course, the internet is a big one on that, isn't it? Parents, be careful with the internet. Please be careful with the internet. Please be careful with the internet. That girl from Beaver Dam is still missing. Am I right on that? That 16-year-old? That pregnant 16-year-old, pregnant with some 40-year-old man's baby? You know that she's from a Baptist church? When I saw the picture of her, that looks like a Christian girl. And later on, I saw the Baptist church, one of the Baptist churches in Beaver Dam was having a vigil for her because she's a member of their church. And she got pregnant by some 40-year-old pervert, and they're off somewhere and nobody can find them. Wait a minute. I'm not going to pick on the parents. I don't know the situation, but somehow Satan got a foothold. Because that's not normal for a 16-year-old to be listening to some 40-year-old weirdo. That's not normal. Somehow Satan had a foothold there. Parents, be careful. Internet should not be in your child's home. In your child's room. Internet should not be available to them without parental supervision. Watch out, be careful. Here's another area where Satan wants an inroad, rebellion. Rebellion. Music is a big one for rebellion. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why rock music is so bad. Because rock music is music of rebellion. Rock music is music of rebellion. Just the other day, I was watching a cartoon with my kids, and the good guys, when the good guys show up, the music is light and happy and whatever, and when the bad guys show up, the background music is some kind of heavy metal rock music. Why? Because even the world knows that's rebels. That's the bad guy. Don't let your child listen to the world's music. Don't do it, because that music affects them. Music is spiritual. Music does affect them, so watch what they listen to. Be careful of it. Don't let them listen to the world's music. Other entertainment as well. Are you noticing some rebellion in their child? You might want to see what they're listening to. You might want to see what they're watching. Maybe friends would be part of that, and they're around friends that are rebellious. An attitude that is left unchecked, where they're allowed to kind of have an attitude with mom or dad. I'm not the best at this, but I can tell you one of the things I've tried to watch out for with all of my kids, but especially the boys, is how they treat their mom when their mom tells them to do something. And boys, especially once they get to teenage years, they kind of want to cop an attitude with mom. And that's natural. They're trying to, you know, express their manliness, and they feel, you know, under the thumb of a woman, and they don't want to. I like that. That's good. They shouldn't want to be under the thumb of a woman. Amen and amen. And I don't care who doesn't like that. However, they do need to understand that mom still gets to tell them what to do. And they don't get to have an attitude about it. And so I've tried to always say, son, don't you talk to your mom that way. I want to encourage you, don't let them talk to you in a way or to a teacher or about their Sunday school teacher or about this person or that person or mom or dad. Deal with that unchecked attitude. Check it. And don't let Satan have an inroad. Rebellion sometimes through mom and dad. Now, let's get to the last part of the message here and then we'll be done. What should we do to help protect our children? Well, number one, protect them as best you can from Satan's influence. You'll not be perfect, none of us are, but do the best that you can. Be careful, all right? Then keep yourself from sin so that you are not the conduit of evil influences. You remember that God's word tells us that God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. That doesn't mean that if you're a sinner in a certain way that your kid is guaranteed to do the same thing, but it does mean that that sin will visit them. It will be a temptation. It will be a tendency. So be careful of that. Number three, give them the Word of God. Get them in this book. You read the Word of God yourself every day, every single day, read the Word of God. Let them see you read the Word of God. And then you read the Word of God with them. Make sure they are reading the Word of God. Get the Word of God into them. This is wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing, and wisdom is the thing that will protect them. Get them into the Word of God. Obviously, have them under the preaching of the Word of God. But get them under the Word of God. And then lastly, pray, pray, pray for your children. Pray for them. While they're young, pray for them. Plead for them. Parents, God hears your prayer. You need to pray for them. And I would encourage you, if you have young children, that's a great blessing. Pray for them now. While they're young and tender, pray for God to work in their life. Pray for God to humble them. Pray against Satan. Ask God to put a hedge of protection around them. Ask God to reveal to you any area of your life where you're giving Satan a little bit of an influence. And humble yourself before God and plead with God. God will hear your prayer and God will move in a mighty way. Let's turn to James chapter 5 and we'll close with this. Here, this is a verse about prayer, James chapter number 5. James chapter 5. Look at verse 16, James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It still does. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It gets a lot accomplished. So pray. I would encourage you to do that. Why? Because there is a destroyer out there. May not ever possess your child and throw them into the fire or into the water. But he's going to do the same type of thing in other ways. He's going to try to get them to destroy themselves. And I look out in the world today, I imagine you're like me. And I look out in the world sometimes when we're down on State Street or wherever, and I see young girls who are dressed a certain way, and my heart breaks, and I think to myself, where is their father? As every weird old man who's a pervert in his mind is ogling them. And I think, where is their father? And young people who are destroying their lives, young men who are effeminate and don't know what direction to go in their life. Dad, Dad, where are you? Mom, something went wrong. Satan got in. The destroyer got in. Let me encourage all of us. Let's pray for our children. Whether or not they're yours, you can pray for them. Let's seek God's face right now. Lord, would you please work now in this invitation? Watch over our children and protect them, I pray. In Jesus' name.